Okay, let's talk about the big O, listeners. Obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it, so there should be no shame in the weight game. RO Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Row Body Program members have support throughout the process. Row helps handle all of the insurance paperwork to help get the medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up from the comfort of your own home. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/clink. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/clink. Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Housewives of True Crime. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
That's right. Summer.
Still?
Tell me about it.
Just keeps going. Actually, listen to this. So today I have my own little summer camp going on.
Yeah.
And the reason that I was late to record with you is because I put together a scavenger hunt around my house for the kids.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a time suck for the kids, right? And I just got all the clues online and they're not very hard. And I just taped them around the house in, you know, like one of them is in a sink. Well, we have a few sinks. So I'm like, I didn't tell them what sink. So it'll take them extra time. And then one of them, you put it on a mirror, like, you know, so.
Okay, good ideas.
That's what they're doing right now while we record.
Oh, my kids were driving me crazy. I just took them shopping with me. That is the one. I don't really mind having them home. I just hate taking them with me on errands.
I know.
It's so annoying, yeah. Right? And they were bitching at me that, so we went to the gym and they get to go to like a little play place while we're at the gym. And they're like, okay, well, after we get home from shopping, where are we going? I'm like, well, yesterday we went to the water park and the day before we went to the zoo. So today we're not going anywhere. I have to get stuff done. And they're
not having it.
No, they're not like real stoked on that. So I want to tell you about what happened to me at the zoo though, because I think it's like maybe a little PSA.
Okay.
Okay. So yesterday we went to the zoo in Santa Ana. It's a small zoo.
The
day before yesterday. Yeah. It's just like had a couple hours to kill. So we're there and there is a crowd of homeless people that kind of hang out in the park in front of the zoo. So whatever. Anyways, there was one guy was very intoxicated, very in need of mental help. He was spitting in the direction of people, yelling profanity. He took a cup of soda, dumped it on the ground. Okay, here's the PSA. So to me, I'm in line. I'm pretty sure there's enough people around. Some kind of security thing is going to happen. My kids are like, cannot keep their mouths shut. Mom, no, he didn't. He just dumped that cup on the ground. Is he a litter bug? Oh, and now he spit? What? I'm like, you guys have to be quiet and not draw more attention to it and let other people handle it. You know what I'm saying?
I think, yeah, you have to teach them what is kind of a normal situation and like a abnormal situation where we need to be just, our, you know, spidey senses need to be perked up a little bit. We need to be aware of what's going on, but we also have to be a little bit silent about what's going on.
Oh, no situational awareness, these children. Yeah. I mean, this guy, he was like on the verge of a mental break. Like he took a sign and he kicked it. So he was like getting like a little violent. I was like, there was a real big dad behind me in line. I'm like, we're cool. Cause this guy's going to handle it.
Did he handle it?
Well, security came and the guy, there's nothing they can do. They don't do anything. They just told him to leave the line area.
And did he go?
It's really too bad. Cause you know, they just can't do anything in California. Like you can't.
I know.
Arrest someone for like disturbing the peace or drunk in public or like any of that. And so they don't. And so unfortunately, this person is not going to get put in the system and get the help that they desperately need.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So that's kind of scary. Anyways, before we get into the next part of our episode, I want to tell you guys, I started watching Blackbird. Did you start watching it?
No.
You got to watch it, okay? It's on Apple TV, you guys. It's a good one. I think if it all turns out the way I think it's going to turn out, I'm going to do a case on it. It'll be good.
Okay, well, I did watch the thing people are saying to watch too. The Girl in the Picture.
Oh, you did? I haven't watched that. What did you think?
Mind blown.
Mind blown, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to do a case on that one?
No.
No,
because everybody, everybody's watching it. Yeah. And it is about multiple children.
I was thinking that, too. But, you know, TV shows are much different. I mean, not much different. I mean, they usually do a pretty good job on telling you how it went down. However, it is dramatized and there are things that they can't put in there or they skew it one way or another. So I do think just like, you know, that thing about Pam, it is good to also do the case so that you can see. It's like reading a book and then going and watch the movie, which, by the way, Where the Crawdads Sing just came out and I'm halfway through the book. So I don't want to go see it till I'm done.
Awesome.
Okay. So anyways, you guys, I want to give a little recap on what you listened to last week. And if you did not listen to the first part of the Double Life episode, which aired last week, please go back now. Listen to the first part. It's probably necessary. So do that now and then subscribe so you can get the next one the next week. You know, works out really easy that way. Okay. So quick recap. Dennis and Norma had just moved to Roy City. Their son was in town from college, helping them move, care for their animals, hanging out with friends for the weekend. The night in question, Brandon Woodruff, their son, leaves their house sometime between 7 or what he says, 7 and 7:30. And between 9:30 and 10:30, the two Woodruff parents are brutally murdered, shot and stabbed multiple times while watching TV on their couch. There was no sign of a break-in and no struggle. Norma did have some defensive wounds on her hands and some hair in her hand, but Dennis looks like he was blindsided. Police immediately get a call from, air quotes, I'm saying, friends of the Woodruff family, explaining how Brandon's lifestyle makes them believe that he is the one that could have murdered Dennis and Norma. After a couple of these interviews, the confirmation that Brandon has been shaking his tail feather at the local strip joint and possibly doing some adult films while maintaining that he is straight must have made him a murderer. So they arrested Brandon for murdering his parents. And that is where we left off. So let's get into the rest of the story now. Upon arrest, Brandon pleaded with them that it wasn't him. He said, look at the evidence. Please look at my call log. Surely, after you get my call log, you will know that I wasn't at my parents' house at that time. But once he's arrested, it's now up to his attorneys, you know, it's kind of a sad situation, right? Because what should happen is they should really have enough evidence to convict you for a murder before they arrest you. And usually, I know in California, you have to go to a grand jury before for them to say, like, yes, you can arrest this person for murder because there's enough evidence. But here you just go to a judge. And what the judge read was the MySpace thing and the kittens. And that got a interesting lifestyle that maybe didn't go well in the city.
Well, that should have absolutely no bearing. Also, it seems like the MySpace things and the kittens are just hearsay, unless did they show proof that this MySpace post, I mean, I'm sure they found it by now, right?
So they didn't, actually. Turns out it wasn't on MySpace. It actually never was on MySpace. After the papers came out, you know, once you arrest people, it's like public knowledge. So the newspapers, you know, print that shit all over the place. And so it stated that this friend said this MySpace comment. And wouldn't you think like you would go look up MySpace before you put somebody in jail for capital murder? Like, right. Make sure that this guy that just shows up to talk about the murder is actually telling you the truth.
Yeah, but well, you know, back in 2005, MySpace was like something the kids did. Maybe the Texas Rangers were like, whatever.
Yeah, he didn't really know. So,
yeah.
Anyways, this friend comes back to the police station and retracts his MySpace comment. He says, well, actually, you know what? It's not there any longer. And I didn't actually see it. It was a friend that told me she saw it, but then now says that she must have misread it because now it says that he loves his parents. And it was actually a quiz. You know, one of those quizzes that they used to like send you on MySpace. And one of the questions was like, do you love or hate your parents? And then you can like answer and then you can like write something below. And I think he wrote love his parents. And then he said, don't we all, with a wink face or something like that. So the ranger is pretty pissed at this because he's like, wait, you told me something that I arrested this guy for. And now one, it's not there. And two, like you never even heard it. And he goes, yeah, you're right. But you know, he actually told me in person too. It's like, dude, where, like, are we buying this bullshit or what?
No.
But I feel like sometimes some people feel like once they do something, they can't return from that. So they create what they need to make sure that they're right instead of fessing up to their mistake. So, you know, this kid's backpedaling and the ranger's getting pretty upset. There's a lot to the story and I'll tell you how to get more information if you want. But I think this whole thing is a big red flag to me. I would be like, pause.
What's the motivation for lying? And you know, implicating somebody had something to do with their parents' murder. What is motivating you to make stuff up?
Yes. And why would you come and tell me for hours about his gay lifestyle that has nothing to do with murdering a person? Like, why are you just, and honestly, when you listen to this guy's interrogation, or not, it's not even interrogation. Okay. It's just
you know what I would think?
What?
If I was hearing this and that, the fact that Brandon had some, you know, gay lifestyle or whatever infuriated this guy, it's like, you know what they say? There's something about him you hate about you. I think this guy is repressing some homosexual feelings, maybe.
I know. I thought about that, too. I was like, did something happen between you two that, like, I thought that, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he was just trying to insert himself into a situation. I don't know what his motive was. There was a motive that he didn't like Brandon and he was going to tell them that he didn't like him for whatever reason. I do think that you might be onto something. I don't think if you are onto something that ever came out into real life, just because I kind of know. But that doesn't mean really anything, you know?
Right.
People hide shit forever.
Just speculating.
I know. I did think that as well. And he does say that he has no problem with gay people and that he has friends and he says hi to them in the class.
Oh,
and
okay, great.
Whatever.
Sure.
He says all that.
Yeah, that's great.
He wants to, you know, make sure. Like I said, I would take this whole retracting the statement and not actually telling the truth about this MySpace as a red flag. I would have also questioned the cats a little bit more, but it doesn't really seem to matter because the more they look into Brandon, they see that he really had been hiding his sexuality and was living a bit of a double life. And this double life did not sit well with anybody. It didn't sit well with anybody over in Hunt County, where he was in prison or jail at this point, or anyone close to Brandon at all. Brandon was a 19-year-old Christian guy attending a very Christian college that wasn't ready to admit to himself that he was gay, and he really wasn't ready to admit to the world he was either. He still had his girlfriend. They were asexual, okay? So they didn't, and they were Christian, so, you know, a lot of Christians don't have sex before marriage, but I would say it's pretty safe to say that they had a really close friendship and they loved one another a lot. But physically, he wasn't into her. And her mother kind of said the same thing. She's like, it was a different kind of relationship. He did not have any affection towards her, but I would say they were just best friends.
Right.
You know? He kept the exploring gay side to himself, which was like he stripped for money and he had a guy that you may call his boyfriend. And he also did a couple porn films for some cash. He kept all that to himself or to these new friends that he found in Dallas. Like they knew that side of him, but that's the only people that knew that side of Brandon.
Okay.
I think we can all say that it would be really hard to admit all of this to your Christian friends.
Okay, sure. And gay or straight, it would be hard to admit, right? Like it doesn't. Yes, it doesn't matter. Most people, I mean, you know, we knew people that took their clothes off for a living and stuff like that. And they certainly didn't advertise it to their families.
No. We knew people in all those industries. And
yeah,
no, I think that why do people have fake names when they're in that industry? Because they don't want people to know.
Right.
It's not. And some people do. Fine. Jenna Jameson. She's very well known. But I think also when you're just trying to figure it out, you're not going to be exploiting it everywhere.
Oh, and he was a baby, 19. You're just barely figuring it out.
And who knows? Like, maybe you are, maybe you're not. Maybe you're just exploring. So I also think, by the way, that you can have two sides of yourself. He would do the animal thing during the day, hang out with his girlfriend. That really wasn't his girlfriend. And then party and let loose at night. I feel like we also, as moms, do this. We do this on girls' nights out. We do this on girls' trips. I mean, we're not sleeping with other men or women, but we are letting loose much more than we are when we're sitting at a PTO meeting.
Totally.
Shoot, Gretchen, I think you even know some people that went on girls' trips and did let real loose.
Oh, they let it. They let loose.
Yeah. So, I think so loose that one's divorced now.
That's true. Yeah. Also, I mean, you might not think that I have a little crazy in me, but I think when you took me out into the wild streets of Dallas, I took my bra off.
You took your bra off and threw it up at the cow head. So shoot. I mean, I know you're not doing that in the carpool line.
No.
So the fact that this 19-year-old was living this alternative lifestyle in secret, it doesn't draw a red flag for me. I think that probably most of us have two sides to who we are or who we could be. And some people don't know the other crazier side, or if you are crazy all the time, you could be conservative sometimes. So the investigators obviously did not like the two sides. And let me tell you, Brandon's sister did not like it either. After Charla got word that Brandon was doing his thing, she could not believe it. So she went to Brandon and she was like, "Are you gay?" And Brandon said, "No, I'm not gay." And she kept questioning him. And then after he, what she would say, lied to her, which I'm like, again, like maybe he fully hasn't decided at this point.
Or he's just not ready to tell her, whatever.
Yeah. So she goes back to the investigators and she says, if he could lie about being gay, and I could say it like her, if he could lie about being gay, then he could lie about killing my parents. And, you know, because a sin is a sin, right?
Okay.
So they ask her straight out, so you think that your brother did this? And she says, yes. Nice sister.
Yeah. Charla.
Uh-huh. Well, there was another person that saw this lifestyle as a red flag too. And that was the girlfriend's mom. Although she loved Brandon, she saw this change in his dressing and his mannerisms to be what she calls really weird. She thought the fact that he stripped for cash was so crazy. Her daughter knew that he did this, and she said she would question her all the time, like, isn't this weird to you? Don't you not like this? And she's like, I'm not doing it. Whatever.
Yeah.
And there was something else that she needed to bring up to the investigators. She and her husband had a room in their house that displayed guns, loaded guns, if you will. I can imagine this house because I have been to a couple Texas houses that have like a showcase of like their trophy kills. And I'm not sure if I've ever seen a gun, but I can imagine maybe. But they had this gun on display, and I think they had multiple guns on display, but this particular one was missing. They only noticed it missing after the murders, I think probably because they went and looked. They have no idea how long it's been gone for. She said they don't lock their doors, and a bunch of kids are always in and out of their house, including the shit kickers, even the one that I mentioned earlier.
Uh-huh.
And Brandon. Brandon had actually just been over that weekend, like I told you, although he didn't carry any bag. He wore super tight jeans and he was with his girlfriend the entire time. So the possibility that he stole this gun is pretty low, but it's possible. The gun was a replica of a Colt 45 with a long barrel. So I looked it up online to see how big this gun was. And it's pretty big. It's got like a really long, I guess it would call barrel, right? Like it's like a really long pointer.
Yeah.
If you will. Like really long. Like I don't know how you would shove that in your pants and be able to walk around, much less like sit in a car, because it, him and his girlfriend drove to Waco and back to buy a lamb or something that day. But I guess it's possible that he could have stolen it. And she just wanted to let them know just so they could rule him out, which didn't really rule him out, actually rolled him way in.
Well, I mean, I sort of see you, something crazy happens in your small town and you have a gun missing. I think if you're smart, you go to the police and say, I don't know what the, how, who did it, but I'm just saying, wasn't me.
It wasn't me. And it, I don't know where the, I don't know
and it's
what
missing.
Happened.
I'm just letting you know. Yeah.
Okay. So they never retrieved the gun. They don't know where the gun is. They don't know anything about that gun. And they don't know about the gun that killed these innocent people. But they do know the bullets are the same caliber as that gun, which is 45s, which also happens to be the most common caliber bullet of all guns in America. So, I mean, yes, there is a commonality, but I would say it's probably the same thing as saying, like, your blood type's A, and so was the killer's.
Right.
So you're the killer.
Okay.
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences. And then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Hello, listeners. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers online therapy, which is something I have personally benefited from and believe in. We all have life stresses that can be overwhelming. For me, it has been a game changer to have an online therapist who helps me navigate and reflect on life. I have had to work on setting healthy boundaries and my tendency to internalize, well, everything. It is heavy business, but I can't tell you enough how freeing it is to work through it. And personally, I find it easier to be open while talking things through from the comfort of my couch. It's so convenient. Online therapy for me has really meant becoming a better version of myself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/clink today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/clink.
Now, you are probably all asking, what about the crime scene itself? What
I want to know about that hair in her hand.
What about the evidence collected? Like the long blonde hair, for goodness sake.
Yes, yes. That's what I've been claiming.
Give me the DNA testing of that hair, because clearly that is who fucking killed the person.
Right.
Yeah. Well, guess what, Gretchy?
What?
They never tested it.
Well, where
never,
is it?
Never, ever tested it. They actually, okay, so when they were pulling Norma off of the couch, her hand was in her hair. Her left hand, I think, was in her hair, and it had pulled, because the blood had pulled around the hair in her hand, had pulled all this hair out of herself. And then in the other hand, she had the long blonde hairs, okay? So they put both of the hairs, both hairs, all together in a bag, and they didn't test it. It has not been tested. They collected all this evidence, and then they kept it in the room, the office, instead of like, you know, supposed to put it in an evidence locker. It's like, shit is crazy. Okay. So they didn't, they still have not tested it, Gretchy. So I mean, when we get to the end of this, like, listen, test the fucking hair. Test every goddamn like strand in there. And can't you find the difference between a brown and a blonde hair? Like,
yeah,
test it.
Yeah.
Test the hair. That's like all you need to do.
Well, it sounds like one of them situations where maybe they don't want to feel like going back and testing the hair because they kind of have egg on their face.
Yes, of course. That's why they don't want to test the hair. Come on. Yeah. Blame it on the money. But shit, we all know why. So anyways, they did not collect DNA from any doorknob, light switch, anywhere else. They do not have any DNA anywhere. Okay. His lawyers, like I said, they requested the phone records because they were like, this can eliminate Brandon. Let's see. Where is he? Well, the Rangers finally turned over the phone records like almost 9 months later. And for some reason, there was a glitch in the AT&T system when they turned it over that had the time frame between 9:30 and 10:30, which is when they said these two were killed, missing. But everywhere else on the call log had Brandon pinged exactly where he said he was at the time. So what his attorneys did were subpoena the call records for the people he said he was talking to at the time. And so you can see Brandon talking to people because they're calling, like he's either calling them or they're calling him on the other people's call records. But because his call records are missing, you can't see exactly where his cell phone pinged, right? So you can just see that even though they say he's murdering these people between 9:30 and 10:30, he's also talking to people at the same time, which seems kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah. If I'm a juror, I'm not thinking that he's picking up. He's not answering the phone.
He's not answering his phone. Mm-mm. And by the way, you've got a knife in one hand and a gun in another. Like, and now you're answering the phone with your, I don't even think they had those like earpieces yet.
No.
So it's kind of far-fetched to me. So the amount of time between the arrest and the trial was a long time, like years. Okay. I think he got convicted in 2009, which would be 4 years later. And after 2.5 years, he's still sitting in prison waiting. The aunt comes forward and says, I was cleaning out that barn in the Heath house, and I found this dagger. How they called it. It was more like a sword. It was like 2 feet long. And they're like, the aunt is like, I think this might be the murder weapon. And so there is a piece, they do test this thing for DNA. And there is one drop of Dennis's blood underneath the handle of this dagger, which is huge first. Like, it's a huge sword. I don't know how Dennis's blood got there, but I also don't know how they missed a huge dagger when they went and searched the barn right after the murder.
Yeah.
And she finds it 2.5 years later and decides to turn it in, saying that she thinks this might be what he killed them. But sure enough, they ate it right up. They were like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that is definitely it.
Hello, listeners. Are you ready to spring into making healthy choices? Like actually going to the gym, not just putting on the gym shoes? Well, I am. And I have also been making the healthy choice to cut back on alcoholic beverages during the week. Recess mocktails make it so easy to do. These zero-proof craft mocktails are the replacement that allows you to enjoy the ritual of pouring yourself a fabulous drink at only 25 calories or less. Have that friend that alcohol tends to make a little extra chatty? Offer them a recess mocktail at your next get-together. Be a crowd pleaser. Everyone enjoys a recess lime margarita. It's the perfect guilt-free drink in between drinks. Our listeners can enjoy 15% off at takearecess.com/clink. So you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. That's takearecess.com/clink.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice, and My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com.
So Brandon goes to trial in a town where I would say being gay isn't really the most accepted thing. Sure, there's not a bunch of rainbow flags flying high. And the jury selection began. And unfortunately, 8 out of the 12 jurors on Brandon's team said they thought that being gay was immoral. They actually said that.
And they were still selected to be jurors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
Because they said they thought they could put their biases behind them.
Oh, yeah.
But can they? Can they when the prosecution, like, basically slanders his character up and down on the witness stand and just brings people over and over to say that, you know, like all these guys from the Christian University to say that Brandon never said he was gay and Brandon acted like he was a rich kid because he would go to the mall and buy them gifts on his credit card and come and act like his parents bought them all gifts. And it's like, dude, like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, Brandon was leading two lives and was scared for them to collide. He didn't want his family finding out which actually, we know that his dad, he did tell his dad he thought he was gay. And come to find out, his dad actually, I guess, was okay with it. So the prosecution said that he did not want his family to know. And so he killed him, and he also killed them because he pretended he was rich and he did not want anybody to know that his family moved into a double wide trailer and he was going to steal the mom's car because he really liked it. And you know what? The jury, they bought it up. And Brandon's defense, I think, was pretty good. It was a public defender, so there's not a lot of money that they have to do a lot of their own research. The sister testified against her brother, and actually she lied a lot on the stand, and the defense attorney caught her in every single one, which really made me so happy because I'm like, bitch, like, don't lie. Don't say your brother didn't cry at all And then they're like, but you said he cried when you were first, you know, questioned.
Yeah.
And then she goes, oh, yeah, okay. So I don't know what got in her mind to change her tune on her brother.
She's in love with the shit kicker. They conspire or something crazy.
I don't know. She does have a true hate for him. She really does. Grandma, however, loves Brandon. She believes in Brandon's innocence. And you know what? I think I obviously, you guys can tell, I think I agree with Brandon's innocence also. But the 12 jurors in Hunt County did not agree and sentenced Brandon to life in prison. So I found a lot of this information, by the way, on this podcast called American Justice, which I don't normally do a lot of podcasts for research, but this guy made a documentary or a docuseries on this case. And he had more research and more recordings than I found anywhere else in all of my research. So it's a really long podcast. It's so many episodes. It's a lot. But if you want to hear way more, this guy has way more information. He's got, he thinks he knows. I mean, I don't know who did it, but this guy, you know, he thinks he
knows who did it.
I also will tell you how I listened to it on 1.5 times. You know, you can do that. You can listen to things a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it to bump it up a little bit. Not saying you need to, but I mean, it's a little slow. But there is so much information. The Texas Innocent Project has now
took the words out of my mouth.
Yep, they took his case, which is great because his appeals have all been either denied from the Supreme Court or the state won't even look at it. They won't look at anything. And which is sad. And he's been in there for 17 years and they won't even fucking test the DNA. It's like, just test the DNA.
Yeah.
Why would you let somebody sit in prison for life and you know whoever was in that house, whoever's hair is in that hand is the killer?
Yeah.
Also, if you want my opinion real quick, I think that someone who knew Brandon and knew Brandon's parents thought that they had money because that's how I know Brandon portrayed them, but maybe they also portrayed themselves that way. I'm not positive on that, but they knew they moved to a more rural area and maybe it would be real easy to rob them and steal their money or money in their safe, or maybe they knew they had some cash on hand. What I didn't tell you was their wallets were missing and maybe there was a stash of cash missing too that nobody knew about. Like, who knows?
Totally.
Also, let's go back to they had a knife and a gun. 90% of cases involving two weapons happen by two people, not one. Because can you imagine you have a knife in one hand and a gun in the other?
Yes, this is a good point. Also, I was thinking that would have been really hard to, unless you like fatally shot them both, like, you know, like so quick, like,
and then you
to kill
them.
Both people.
But yeah. Why wouldn't you just keep shooting? Why would you need to also then stab them?
Right.
It's like, it almost seems like one person has a gun and one person has a knife and they kind of just tag team.
And you know, those stabbings happen by someone that usually they know.
Yes. Yes. That's why they think that it was somebody that they knew. Also, cleaning up the crime scene and doing all that and then getting back to Heath, the time frame is very, very small for what they had to do. Another thing I think they could have done more research on is the stab wounds themselves. I mean, the dagger that they said had a foot long, blade.
Well, I also think it's pretty unusual to like stay in the house and like
clean
that
up.
Seems, yes, like you would clean up in your own house. Like you would take a shower in your own house because you were comfortable. You knew nobody else was coming. You know, I'm not saying.
Well, that's why I think it, you know, you then
it
you're
rhymes
like, well,
with
it could
Marla.
Be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Charlotte does have blonde hair.
Oh, how convenient.
Yes, she does. She's also, or maybe she still is, I think, in a criminal investigator. Is that crazy?
So she knows you need the bleach. Yeah, I don't know. Just speculation.
I know. I don't know who did it. It could have been somebody totally random. But I will say...
You don't think it's Brandon?
I don't think it's Brandon.
Me neither.
So in the very least, give him a retrial.
Yeah.
Say, hey, you know what? We had a bias against you. We all know that. You are supposed to have a fair trial. You didn't have a fair trial. These people didn't thought you were immoral in the beginning before they even knew anything about the crime.
Test the hair evidentiary hearing. Let's do it.
I know.
Poor Brandon. Let's send him a letter.
You can. So you can go to Facebook and he has a free Brandon Woodruff page. He also has a change.org that you can go to. And I have some high hopes. I think he just got in the Texas Innocence Project as of maybe late 2019, 2020, maybe a little later than that. So it hasn't been there that long, although every day probably seems really long and awful for Brandon. But I do think that I think I have good thoughts for that. And, you know,
yeah,
I think just... try him again and see what happens. Okay, so we're back at the end of the episode. And I just wanted to say, because I forgot to tell you all, that Brandon has taken two polygraph tests by two separate, do you call them polygraphers? Is that what
that you sounds call official?
It does. But then I thought a polygrapher is like somebody that writes. I don't know. Anyways, the main person that does the polygraph machines, he has taken two from two different people and has passed both of them. Now, I know they are not, you know, I guess you can't put them in the court, can't say that he did it, or they can't take it into account. And some people can get away with.
But we're not the jury. We're just here to judge. And I say that makes you innocent.
I know. I mean, I think a 19-year-old, I mean, listen, I think people can get away with it. I think if you are a complete psychopath,
you can pass one.
You can pass one.
Yeah, I think that's true for sure. But it definitely helps with the innocent case. If he, say, yes, didn't pass, that would be more like give you pause.
Yes. So I think that, you know, you guys already know what I think. I do think he's innocent, and I hope the Innocence Project gets, you know, they already have a hold of it. So I hope that they are able to help him, because, dude, 17 years in prison already is a long ass time.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think that's all for today. Until next week. And you guys, if you want more of us, please go to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. I will give you updates on my basketball drama, which continues, by the way.
Of course.
And we also talk about a bunch of other stuff if you don't want to hear about basketball drama. And we are on Facebook, on Housewives of True Crime group. Follow us there. We respond to you. We interact in the group. We are very active. And we are on Instagram. And also, you guys, we are going to be at the True Crime Podcast Festival August 27th in Dallas, Texas. So come and see us there. There's going to be actually a lot of True Crime podcasts that you probably listen to. So you'll get to meet all of us. So check it out. And that's it. Clink,
okay.
Clink.
Clink, clink.